Okay, good evening, this cold January evening. So, it's now Tevet, and in fact today was Asara B'Tevet. But we are looking towards the Parshat Vayechi, which is the final parsha in the Sefer Bereshit, and then we'll begin Shemot with the help of God. So this is Vayechi, the last parsha in Bereshit, and the discourse, the maimer that we're going to be looking at, was said. It was actually on a Monday evening of Parshat Vayechi, and that year it was also Asara B'Tevet. It was also the 10th of Tevet. So, and it was said in Tavshin Lamed Chet 5738, which I think was 1978, January 1978. And at that time the Rebbe was not well. And he had a heart attack. And so therefore he said this in his room. Instead of being in the hall with, surrounded by hundreds or thousands of Hasidim, he said it in his room, and it was came through a loudspeaker into 770. And in the rest of the world it was heard through the phone system. So I probably heard it at the time at 2:30 in the morning, because if it's 9:30 in New York, then it's 2:30 in England, and we would get a phone call to say there is going to be a Verbrengen or a Maimer, and we would get up in the middle of the night and come to Beit Lubavitch, and there were men and women and children, boys and girls.
2:00 in the morning.
Yes.
That's one does, of course.
And there was simultaneous translation, which I had the zchut of being able to take part in. So I would have earphones on where I would hear the Yiddish of what the Rebbe is saying, and I would try to translate into English into a microphone, and people would be listening to the translation. So we would take it in turns. There was a little team of people who would do the translations. And eventually we just got out of the habit of going to bed. But that was the that was what it was like then. So so this maimer, the petach davar, the opening words, are a pasuk from the parsha about Yehuda. Yaakov, our ancestor Yaakov Avinu, and Jacob, before he passed away, he gave a blessing to his children, and he says, Yehuda Ata, that's in the pasuk, Yehuda, you, Yoducha Achecha, your brothers should accept you, they recognize you, they will thank you. It's interesting, we use the word modeh as thanking, but modeh is also like accepting the authority of someone, and in a way that's hoda'ah, means I am thanking you, I'm accepting that you gave me something. So there's a phrase in the Talmud, modim chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. It doesn't mean they thanked Rabbi Meir. The sages give in to Rabbi Meir, they accept what he says. The Chachamim say A, and Rabbi Meir says B, and then Modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim give in and they accept Rabbi Meir. So Hoda'ah is understood.
They submit.
submit. Yeah, what does it use over here? Here it uses the word submit. Yeah. So, yoducha achecha, your brothers shall submit to you, accept you. Yadacha ba'oref oivecha, your hand will be at the back of the neck of your enemies. So, implying that the enemies are running away, or he is empowered over his enemies. Of course, a higher level of dealing with enemies is that the enemies should make peace and not be enemies anymore. So, there are different stages.
No politics.
Sorry?
No politics.
Yishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha. B'nei avicha. The children of your father should bow down to you. In other words, Yehuda, he is going to be the ancestor of David HaMelech. And he is therefore the line of authority, of kingship in the B'nai Israel, and so therefore the other tribes will accept him. As it says, in fact, in verse 10, at the bottom line, Lo yasor shevet mi Yehuda, the scepter will not depart from Yehuda. This pasuk was quoted in the time of the Gaonim in Iraq in the 6th, 7th and 8th century, when they had a very interesting institution called the Reish Galvata, or the Reish Galuta, yes. And that was, in English it's called the Exilarch. And it was a kind of king who was descended from King David, and he ruled the Jews of Babylon, of Iraq. And it was a hereditary position. And he, as a result of this position, he was able to select who should be the shoftim, the judges, around the whole country, and also a large area, a kind of commonwealth, that Babel governed, as far as Morocco. So there was the authority of the Reish Galuta. In Sidurim, it's sometimes pointed Reish Galvata. So they quoted the verse, Lo yasur shevet mi Yehuda. So that the scepter shouldn't depart from Yehuda, that the Reish Galuta should have this power, this authority. Now that is one or two verses in our parsha. Now, if you look at the back of this page, we have an earlier parsha, Parshat Vayetze. And in Parshat Vayetze, we have about the birth of several of the children of Leah, who are the brothers of Yehuda. If you look at verse 31. Vayar Hashem kisnua Leah. God saw that Leah was hated, was not loved. Vayiftach et Rachma, and he opened her womb that she gave birth. V'Rachel akara, whereas Rachel did not give birth. Vataha Leah, and Leah conceived. Vateled bein, and she gave birth to a son. Vatikra shemo Ruvain, she called his name Ruvain. Now, why does he have the name Ruvain? Ki amra, because she said, Ki ra'a Hashem ba'oni. Hashem has seen my affliction, how unhappy I am. Ki ata yevani ishi. Now my husband will love me. Vataha od, and she conceived again. Vateled bein, and she gave birth to a son. Vatomer, and she said, Ki shama Hashem ki snua anochi. Hashem has heard that I am hated. Vayiten li gam et zeh, and he has given me also this son. Vatikra shmo Shimon, and she called him Shimon, relating to Shema. So Reuven is from seeing, Ra'a. Shimon is from hearing, Shema. Vata od vatelet vein, and she conceived, she became pregnant again, and she gave birth to a son. Vatomer, and she said, Ata hapa, this time, Yilave ishi elai, my husband will accompany me. He will bond with me. Ki yaladeti lo shlasha vanim, because I've given birth for him of three sons. Al kein kara shemo Levi. And therefore she called his name Levi. Relating to the word yilaveh. Vata od vatelet bein, and she again became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Vatomer, and she said, Hapam odeat Hashem. This time I will thank God, like Hoda, thanking. Al kein kara shemo Yehuda. And that's why she called him Yehuda. Vata'amod miledet, and for a time she stopped having children, and then follows other things with Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. And eventually Leah does have another two children, and Dinah. So that gives these names. Now, without going into the whole issue about the relationship between Leah and Yaakov and why she felt hated by him, and the relationship between Leah and Rachel, which are all valid pathways of exploration. But what this maimah, what this discourse takes, is the concept of Yehuda and of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi as aspects within ourselves. And so we are...
It never occurred to me.
What?
About this different functions.
No, I knew, but the
different senses and relationships.
Right. Right. Okay, so... Yeah. Okay. So so we're going to be exploring that in the Maimah, in the discourse, and we will try to enter the universe of the discourse with the Nigun. Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha. Yehuda, you will be accepted or thanked by your brothers. Umavaya kvot kdushat admo hazaken. And the Rabbi Shneur Zalman explains, b'Torah Or, in his, the book of his discourses, published in 1837, Reish parshatenu, at the beginning of our parsha, Vayechi, sheYehuda hu al shem hapam odeh et Hashem. Yehuda has given his name, as we just read from Parshat Vayetze earlier on. Now I will thank God. Leah, his mother, saying, now I will thank God. Hu pchinat hodaya shebechlalot nishamot Yisrael. This is the concept of thanking or accepting. It is, you see, hoda'ah, in this sense, is really accepting and a kind of selflessness. A point of selflessness where the person accepts godliness, the divine. And so the hoda'ah is a relationship with the divine, and the relationship is one of accepting, of the abnegation of the self, so that it can, so that the person can receive and connect with the divine. ובכדי שהודיה זו תהיה בהתקלות, and in order that this deep inner acceptance and connection with the divine should be revealed, hu al yedei achecha, that comes through your brothers. So Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, it's through your brothers that the hoda'ah in you will be revealed. And who are the brothers? Reuven, Shimon, veLevi. Ha'achim shel Yehuda shenoldu lefanav. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi who were born before him. V'zeh yoducha achecha. That's what it means. Sha'achecha, that your brothers, Reuven, Shimon, veLevi, heima gormim, they cause, umevi'im, and they bring out, bechinat ha'hodaya de Yehuda, the quality of acceptance, this very deep concept of acceptance in Yehuda, shetiye behitgalut, that it should be revealed. Now this acceptance is a very intriguing concept, this hodaya. One of the explanations of where this acceptance comes from is at Matan Torah. Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, was a mass communication with, or mass revelation of the divine. One of the words in English used for Mount Sinai is theophany. Theophany means Theo, God, and the revelation of God, the revelation of the divine. That exactly encapsulates what it was. It was a revelation of the divine to everyone in an incredibly powerful way, so much so that the Chachamim say that the people died, their souls left them because of the intensity of the experience. And that God had to bring them back to life, as he will do in Tchiyat HaMetim, to bring the dead back to life, with tal, a certain kind of dew. And that dew will restore the dead to life, and it restored them to life. And what kind of dew is it? It's tal Torah, the dew of Torah. So that within the Torah there's a certain kind of dew, and that tal can bring the dead to life. And we, Am Yisrael, were at Matan Torah at Har Sinai. It was such an intense experience that we died of ecstasy, and then God brought us back to life with the dew of Torah. So then that means that this left an imprint on our soul, that our soul never forgot this experience, and that is the bonding of the soul with the divine. According to Yehuda HaLevi, up till this point, it was a bit selective who had ha'inyan ha'eloki, as he calls it in Arabic. I don't know the Arabic word for this concept. I've only read Yehuda Levi in translation. But the Inyan HaEloki, the Jewish, the divine aspect, which he says defines the Jew, it would not be in every member of a family before Matan Torah. So Avraham, you have Avraham, had Yitzchak and Yishmael. So Yitzchak had the Inyan HaEloki, the divine quality. Yishmael didn't. The same with Yaakov's children. He had Esav, Yitzchak's children. Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov had the Inyan HaEloki, Esav did not. The Jews who were in Egypt, the Israelites, the Bnei Yisrael, B'Mitzrayim, some of them had the Inyan Eloki, and they are the ones that came out of Mitzrayim. Some of them did not. And the Midrash says that there were many people who were left behind in Egypt. They didn't come out. So it was maybe random is not the right word, but it wasn't automatic that every member of a family would have this divine quality. However, after Matan Torah, after the giving of the Torah, which was such an intense experience that it left a kind of imprint on the soul, apparently even more forcefully, I'm not sure if that's the exact way to understand it, but the point is that from then on, the way that it's seen through the eyes of the sages, the child of a Jewish mother has the Inyan HaEloki from then on. And it's a product of Matan Torah. It's a product of that intense relationship with God at the giving of the Torah.
And what about the sons of the Jewish father? The children of the Jewish father?
Mother.
They don't have it?
No.
And convertees?
A convert has it. The tradition is that a convert soul was present at Matan Torah. Everyone who's going to convert to Judaism was at Matan Torah. And in fact, all the Jewish people down the ages, all our souls, were at Matan Torah. We were all there. So there's a joke, the way that people speak. I must have seen you somewhere before. Haven't we met before? Oh, yes, we met at Matan Torah.
Oh, it's like
yeah.
But there were only 60 ribor. There were not too many people.
You're right. Well, 600,000 men. Don't forget the women and the older people and the children. So it was about, you could work out about 2 million people. But it still wasn't a huge amount. But then there's the idea that all the other neshamot were also present there as well, the neshamot who were going to be born.
Okay.
So, and there's a concept that of the 600,000 neshamot, they would all divide into 600,000, so there are many, many millions to be born.
So since then everybody is like, he's got it.
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, through the mother. Yeah, so that is the Hodayah. That's this recognition of God. I mean, we could call it a recognition of the divine, which is deep inside the soul. And it's and that is Yehuda. But the way in which this quality of recognition of the soul, of recognition of the divine, is expressed, the quality of Yehuda, that comes through Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. So now we're going to explore what does it mean, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And it's going to speak about them in terms of seeing and hearing and so on. But it jumps in the next line to another concept which relates to this, which is the Shema. So at the back of your pack, after the Maimah, you have the Shema. Now let's just look for a second at the first paragraph of the Shema. V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol ma'adecha. You should. So first of all, it says, "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuto Lolam Va'ed. Blessed be the name of the glory of His kingship forever and ever. Yes, Va'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'adecha. You should love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And it says these words which I'm commanding you today should be on your heart, and you should teach them to your children, speak about them when you sit in your house, go in the way, b'shochvecha u'v'kumecha, when you lie down, when you get up, k'shatam lo'ot al yedecha, you should have them as tefillin, and you should have them as mezuzot. Now, has this paragraph said anything negative? Anything negative? No. No, it's all positive. It's all good things. It's only chiyuvi. It's all in positive terms, loving God and expressing that love in various ways. But it's simply about love. Now this is linked to the concept of sight. And the idea is that sight can provoke love. Seeing the beauty of the loved one provokes, evokes love in the heart of the person. So although it doesn't mention seeing God in this paragraph, and in fact it begins Shema Yisrael, but that's left out of the equation, this paragraph, Vahavta, is understood in terms of love, and love as an expression of seeing, of ra'iya. Well, you know, Tama, that's a very interesting way of expressing it, because wearing the totafot, and in fact the mezuzot on the house, the Rambam speaks about seeing the mezuzah. There is a sense in which there are things, it's visible things. A person is wearing tefillin, there are mezuzot on the doorposts, it's a visible manifestation of something spiritual. And that is reminding us of godliness. And the sense of awareness of God in a way of ra'iya, which evokes love. Now, let's contrast this. Let's go on to the next paragraph. Because by contrasting the two, we maybe understand each of them a bit more. Vahaya im shama tishmu al mitzvotai. And it will be if you listen, right? Here we have shmiya. If you listen to my mitzvah, asher enochi mitzave etchem hayom, which I'm commanding you today, la'ava et Hashem elokechem, to love God and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. And then it goes on, I will give you rain in your land in the right time, and you'll gather your crops, and I'll put grass in the field for the animals. Hishamru lachem, be careful. Pen yiftel avavachem, in case your heart is enticed away. V'sachtem, and you turn away. V'avadetem elokim achelim, and you serve other gods. V'hishtachavitem lahem, and you bow down to them. V'chara af Hashem b'chem. Okay, is there anything negative in this paragraph? It's saying, if you listen to what God says is good, then it's rather like the first paragraph. You will love God with all your heart and all your soul. But if you turn away from what God says, then it comes a whole list of negative things. And then it comes back to the ideas in the first paragraph. V'samtem et dvarai ela al levavchem v'anashchem ukshatem otam lo'ot al yedchem v'hayu l'totafot b'nenechem. It comes back to the same ideas as in the first paragraph. It's very, very interesting. These two paragraphs are not consecutive in the Torah. At all. One is in, if you look at the bottom on the first page, it tells you, one is in Dvarim Perek Vav, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, and the other one is in chapter 11 of Deuteronomy. So they're separate passages, both in Dvarim, both in Deuteronomy. But they resonate with each other. However, the second paragraph has got in it this negative thing about what happens if you don't listen and you don't obey God. So the first paragraph is described as ri'iya, sight, expressing love. And the second one is shmiya, is hearing, expressing fear. Because in the second one, in a sense, the motivation for doing what God says we should do is the fear of what will happen if we don't do what He says, and then will be all those terrible things. The anger of God will burn against you, and He'll close the heavens. There won't be rain, and the earth won't give its produce, and you'll be lost quickly from the land, the good land which God is giving you. So terrible idea of exile. So those are those two concepts. Now then we have the third paragraph, which funnily enough, this discourse doesn't explore the third paragraph. It goes into what follows the third paragraph. You see, the third paragraph comes from Bamidbar, and it's all about tzitzit, and then it speaks about Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem your God who took you out of the land of Egypt. Lo Liot Lachem Lelekim Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet. Now that word Emet, yes, you can see the word Emet on the next page.
Yeah,
maybe on the back.
On the other page.
On the other page. Emet there.
Page 58.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 48. You got the word Emet. Now, following the word emet, you then have emet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam v'yasha v'ne'eman v'ahu v'chaviv v'nechmal v'na'im v'nora v'adir v'metikan v'kubal v'tov v'yafeh. It's an amazing expression of love and of bonding. This is how it is understood. We've come down to the idea, Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet, I'm Hashem your God, that is true. And then we say how firm and existing and right and faithful and loved and precious and wonderful and pleasant. All these words expressing Chibah. Now, I think there are 15 verbs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yeah. There are 15 verbs, which is like Yud-K, the first two letters of God's name. So there's this enthusiasm. This can be, in a Beit HaKnesset, it's normally, you don't really notice this being said. You know, you notice people saying Shema with more intensity. But this passage of Emet V'yatziv, people don't seem, can you read? I'll take it.
Good morning.
The normal way that people say it in a Beit HaKnesset, Mavlim Etzer, they simply say it. But you can imagine this being an extremely enthusiastic statement. Emet v'yatziv v'nachon v'kayam. It's a powerfully intense statement expressing our bond with Hashem. So Reuven is love, the first paragraph. Shimon is fear, shmiya, hearing, the second paragraph, and Levi, which means bonding, Yilaveh Elai Ishi, my husband will bond with me, the bonding with God is expressed in this Emet V'yatziv, not so much in Vayomer, which has its own discussion, which we're not going into now, but in Emet V'yatziv, which follows the Shema, in the morning, there is this sense of bonding with the divine, and that represents Torah, because when people study Torah, there is a sense that they are bonding with God. Torah is a very intense union between the individual and the infinite, because the infinite God puts himself in some sense in the Torah. That's why the Torah, the Aseret HaDibrot, begin, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. And the word Anochi, Ana, I, Nafshi, myself, Ketavit, I have written down, Yahavit, I have given. It's in Aramaic. I myself I've written down and given. So God has written himself into the Torah and gives himself to us, and that makes the word Anochi. You understand? The initial letters, Anochi. So that sense of God giving himself to us in the Torah, and when we study Torah, godliness is going into our mind, and the mind is wrapping around Elokut, godliness. And this is an amazing yichud. This is an amazing unification. Because God is, as it were, the divine teaching is inside our mind at that moment when we're thinking about it and learning it. And also our mind is inside God. So it's God is inside us and we're inside God at that moment. It's the yichud nifla, which is topologically unlikely, let's say, or difficult to achieve in the physical world, that A is inside B and B is inside A. That it will have to be a very complicated phenomenon. But in this sense, it is a bonding with the divine.
Is it a bit like the yin yang?
I don't know.
Any yin yang sign? You know that? So, like a circle where you've got like two commas almost interlocked.
Maybe. Okay. All right, so now let's try and look at that in the discourse. It's actually not a very long discourse. Okay. So we're beginning three lines up in the first paragraph.
Can you just say perhaps one sentence about the one that the Vayomer?
Well, Vayomer is very interesting. The thing about Vayomer, first of all, it's the mitzvah of tzitzit.
Yes.
And the concept of tzitzit is uri'item oto. You should see them. Uzechatem. That's on page 48. Et kol mitzvot Hashem. You remember all the mitzvot of Hashem and do them. V'lo taturu achalei levavachem v'achalei inechem ashetim zonim achaleim. Now the Rambam says latur achalei levavachem is different to achalei inechem. Achalei inechem, to go astray after one's eyes, is the normal kind of inappropriate passion, that a person feels attracted to something that is inappropriate and they go astray after that thing. And that usually starts with the eyes. Ha'ayin ro'a v'alev chomed, etc. The eye sees and then the heart desires. But lo tatur achalei levavachem is more a philosophical straying, that the person starts wondering maybe this and maybe that, and they end up confusing themselves and going completely astray. That's why his book is called Guide for the Perplexed. More in Nevuchim. And Nevuchim can also mean the wandering, lost. Yeah. In French, it's translated guide des égards. Like, you know, people wandering and and lost. So that's velotatur achalei levavachem, where the heart, it starts thinking this way and that way. So, and then it says, Ani Hashem elokechem, asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. And in fact, it's because of those words that this third paragraph is part of the Shema. Because the Chachamim say every day we should remember Yitziat Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. So they have implanted this paragraph, which mentions Yitziat Mitzrayim, in the Shema. And there's a beautiful discussion of this by Rabbi Shneur Zalman in Tanya chapter 47, which explains that I happen to write an article about this as well, which explains that saying the Shema is itself a step of personal Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's why we mention the Yetziat Mitzrayim at that moment. And then, Ani Hashem Elokechem Emet. Hashem gives himself to us. Ani Hashem Elokechem. It's as if Hashem gives himself to each one of us. And then comes the bonding, which we have in V'yatziv and Nachom V'yikayam. There was 15 letters, Vav, Yudke. Okay, so now we come back to... now, of course, the next step, which is on the next page, is the Shemona Esra. Because after the Shema in the morning, we had the first paragraph for Ahavta, which is sight, which is Reuven. The second paragraph for Ahayim Shema, which is hearing Shimon. The Emet V'yatziv, which is Levi. And then we have Hashem Svatai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Telatecha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melekei Avoteinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak. This is the Shmona Esra. And that is Yehuda. That is the Bitul of Yehuda. So we got Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and then Yehuda, and the absolute inner bond is revealed with that quality of Yehuda. So now, okay, so we basically covered the ideas, many of the ideas, the central theme of the Maimon we've covered outside. Now let's look at it inside. So we're three lines from the end of the first paragraph. Umavaya Shaman, it explains there, Shiruven v'Shimon, who in Yan Beit Parshiyot de Kriyat Shema, Reuven and Shimon are the two Parshiyot of Kriyat Shema. That's going back. It's even more confusing because they're not stapled here. Beit Parshiyot, yeah. The Reuven and Shimon, they are the two first paragraphs of the Kriyat Shema. V'Levi hu inyan emet v'yatziv. And Levi is emet v'yatziv shel achlei Kriyat Shema, after the Shema. V'al yedei zeh b'ayim achakach l'shmona esre. And through this, one comes afterwards to the Amidah, the Shmona Esre, the 18 benedictions. B'chinat ha-hodaya v'habitul d'b'chinat Yehuda. The acceptance and the self-abnegation of Yehuda. Va'inyan hu, and the subject is k'mavur b'Torah or Sham, as it explains there in Rabbi Shneur Zalman's discourse in Torah or. Dehinei Reuven, the word, the name Reuven hu al shem ki ra'ah, is because Hashem has seen. Shimon al shem ki shama, Shimon because of hearing. V'inyanam b'avodat Hashem, and what they mean in divine service, b'chol echad v'achat Yisrael, in every single Jew, b'chinat Reuven hu sh'avodato, the quality of Reuven is sh'avodato l'kono, the way he serves God, he lo b'chinat hasagal levad. It's not only that he understands, ki im b'chinat ri'ya. But he sees. V'hainu shait amtut shelo belokut. The quality, how would you translate it, amtut? Yeah, it comes from the word, it's a verification. What word would you use?
Realization.
Yeah, realization. Yeah, the quality of recognition of God in a very true way, the validation.
Yeah.
The validation of God.
Meeting.
The meeting, yeah. I mean, in a way, that's really what it's saying. This meeting, this recognition, this validation of God, hi bavadaut hachi gedola, is with a total sense of certainty. B'dugmat Adam, like the case of a person, shroe is a davar. He sees something. Shein shaykh, sheyeh etzlo shum safek b'zeh. He can't doubt it now that he's seen it. Mikivin shehu atzmo ra'a et ha-davar, since he himself saw that thing. And the thing is, there is a whole concept in halakha. I thought it might be referring to that in the footnote. Sight. How does it work? I think the way it works is. I can't quite remember. But this question of having seen something, that leaves one with a sense of certainty. I think it's the Dayan, a judge who saw the event, cannot be the Dayan. Mm-hmm. Because he is so certain, because he saw it himself. I remember when one of the Kennedys, the man who shot Kennedy, called Jack Ruby, I think.
No, he shot Oswald.
Oh, he shot Oswald. Oswald shot Kennedy.
So they say.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. What's that? So they say that Oswald shot Kennedy. Then Oswald was being taken by the police somewhere, and Jack Ruby stepped forward and shot him. Now, in the trial that followed of Ruby, there was a great problem that so many people had seen the event on television. So they were all mushuchnaim. They couldn't be an impartial jury. So the lawyers of Ruby rejected everyone who had seen the event on television because they already saw it. So they could not be an impartial juror who is then able to hear both sides of the story. So it was like using this Jewish concept that if you've seen it, you'll never, nothing will convince you to think anything different. I saw with my own eyes.
This ties with what you said about the Galut in the Har Sinai.
Uh-huh.
They saw with their own eyes.
Nachon. And in fact, that is the, when, you know, the Kuzari, where Yehuda Alevi is presenting Judaism, and the beginning of the book, there's a comparison with Christianity and with Islam, and he says, we don't have to prove the existence of God, which is the way the philosopher begins, yeah. Because we saw that, we experienced this ourselves. It was everyone together. It wasn't one man who had the experience. Everyone had the experience. So that's also that vada'ut, that sense of certainty. So va'al derech zeh ba'avodat Hashem. Similarly, now this is a very interesting similarly. Va'al derech zeh. In service of God, in relationship with God, Shehit bonanut shulo, the person's contemplation, ubifchat beinyan dehashkacha pratit. I think, let's miss out the brackets and then come back to it. Shehit bonanut shulo hi boofen, the hitbonunut, the contemplation of the person, is in such a way, the histaklut, such a way of looking, shayinyan mitamet etzlo, that the thing becomes so real for him, ki ilu hu ro'e b'ri'ya chushit mamash, as if he really sees with physical sight. Now this could be, and it's described in other places, as a purely internal perception. For example, the idea that there's a koach eloki inside every object around us, and a person could be looking at a chair or at a flower and see with their mind's eye the koach eloki with a tremendous sense of vadaut, a tremendous sense of certainty. And that is the way it's written about in many places, as a contemplative step, which is actually very deep. It's a deep contemplative step that as a result of this power of contemplation, of hitbonanut, the person comes ki'ilu, who or he, or et ha elokut, shabadavah, that is in everything around us, and really feels that. Now that is, if you like, a kind of a mystical attainment. But the Rebbe switches it round with these brackets, with a few words in the brackets. Ubifrat beinyan da hashkacha pratit. Now hashkacha pratit means divine providence, and it means some kind of sequence of events where the person sees the sequence of events, and from then on, that's for them, ze vadai. They have no, it's something totally tangible to them. And it's like seeing. It's as if they see the Elokut in the system, even though what they saw wasn't the Elokut. They saw something else, what was happening around them, but the effect is a tremendous effect of awareness of Hashem. And it's the juxtaposition of these two concepts. One, the mystical process of Hitbonanut, and the other, the living reality that someone experiences of a sequence of Hashgacha Pratit in some way, absolutely having a tremendous force in their life. Of course, sometimes it doesn't. It evaporates. I'm reminded of the there was a basketball team in Israel, and I can't remember what their name. So their name was something Galil, a basketball team.
Galil Elyon.
Hapoel Galil Elyon.
Yeah, I'm not sure. What happened? It was about 8-10 years ago. What happened was that a Chabad Hasid came to visit this team when they were just practicing, ready to go and do a game. And he managed to persuade the captain of the team to put on tefillin. And maybe a few others of the players before the match. You know, this Nudnik, Chabadnik, Tassim Tfilin, Tassim Tfilin. So they did. And they won the match. So the next match, they all lined up, they all put on Tfilin, they won again. And they actually went to the top of the charts in Israel, in basketball. And their theme song was Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. And it was the most postmodern phenomenon of basically a team. You know, they did not do, as far as one saw, they didn't do anything else. You could hear in Jerusalem, I remember hearing on a Shabbat afternoon from a video shop the song Mashiach, Mashiach, you know, beaming out in the street. And this team, there was the same ritual every time. They would the Chabadnik would come, put on tefillin with them. They would win the match. And then what happens with all good teams in our difficult society is that other teams began buying the players, and so that was the solution on the bubble burst. But whether it had any other effect, I don't know. But at that moment, for that moment, it was.
When was this?
I can vaguely. Probably maybe 12 years ago. 12. I'm saying that. I was in Israel, and every 4 years there's a conference. So it wasn't the last conference, maybe it was three conferences. But that concept of Hashem, there are many stories of individuals where they went through some kind of experience. I had myself with my supervisor and what subject I should do my PhD on. It's, with a conversation with the rabbi, a very, very interesting sequence of events. So when this kind of sequence of events takes place, it's taking it out of the mystical dimension. In some ways, it might be easier to understand the mystical dimension. That the person comes to a deep appreciation of the spiritual level of existence, and that is the hitamtut, that is the verification, the recognition, the meeting with the divine. Umariyazu, and from this seeing, huba, he or she comes, lebchinat avat Hashem. Sight arouses love. Ukmo shekatuv gam kriyat shem Reuven ki ra'ah. Now this is a real drash. As in the pasuk it says about calling Reuven by that name, ki ra'ah gomer ki ata ye'evani. So it's just the juxtaposition of words, because the tochen of the pasuk, the content of the verse, is two different people doing it. God saw my pain, and therefore my husband will love me. But the juxtaposition of seeing with sight is there. V'hu inyam parsha rishona dechiyat shema, that's the first parsha of chiyat shema, v'ahavta at Hashem lekech, that you should love Hashem your God. So in other words, to bring out this inequality of Yehuda, of Hodaya, the first step is love. Then comes the second step. Uprinat Shimon, and the quality of Shimon, al shem ki shama, who's called Shimon because God heard, hu shavoda shelo bevchinat shmiya vahasaga levad. The way he serves God is through hearing, and hearing is here taken as understanding. Velo bevchinat riya, and not through seeing. So it's the difference in seeing and understanding. And since with this quality of hearing and understanding he's distant, like a person who hears something that he's told, but he himself didn't see it, and therefore for him the service is in the way of awe, of fear, because it doesn't have the immediacy of love. But he understands the meaning and the depth, and he's filled with awe. This is the second parsha of Kriyat Shema. Vahaya im shamot ishmu, it will be if you listen. Hishamru lachem pen yifter, be careful lest such and such a thing happen. So in other words, there is a negative there. Since godliness for him is only in a way of hearing, therefore the way he serves God is with the quality of fear. Then we come to the third quality, ubchinat Levi al shem yilave ishi yilai. Levi is the idea of my husband accompanying me, bonding with me. The fact that after the Shema we say Emet v'Yatziv, etc. Hadavah hazeh aleinu. That's how it goes on. This is true and beloved and so on. Hadavah hazeh aleinu. This thing for us. Hadavah hazeh kaiyat. Sicha. Emet v'Yatziv v'Nachon. Hadavah zeh. Now, what is hadavah zeh? Hadavah zeh kaya la Torah. It's referring to Torah. Ki al yedei Torah naseh yilaveh ishi yilai. Through Torah, one has the bonding of the person together with God. Kedil kaman, as it explains further. Ubi anyan. And the explanation of this thing is, Hine gimel b'chinot hanal, these three qualities, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, hem gimel akavim shalem olam amed, are the three lines on which the world stands, and that is not only the macrocosm, gam olam katan ze adam, also the microcosm of a human being, atam, atem chuyim adam, each one of us. Torah, avodah, ugmilut chasadim. Torah, study of Torah, avodah, service of God, and good deeds. Bchinat Reuven Ava, love, hukav agmilut chasadim. That is the line of good deeds. Ki kashe yesh lo ava, avat Hashem, because when a person has love of God, yesh lo gam avat Yisrael. He also has love of other people. That's a fascinating concept, that love of God should be realized as well as love of other people. And sometimes one might think that they are two separate concepts, but the thrust of Chabad Hasidic thought is to emphasize that they go together. You can't have Ahavat Hashem without Ahavat Yisrael. The Ahavat Hashem which exists without Ahavat Yisrael, which is a kind of, might be considered a kind of elitist, separatist love, that is considered flawed. The genuine Ahavat Hashem is a love which includes Ahavat Yisrael as well. Sharei Ahavat Hashem ba'Ahavat Yisrael hem kul echad, because love of God and love of Yisrael are both one. Therefore, his service is in a way of doing good things. Ki ahava is sipat hachesed upnimiuta. Love is the basis for kindness. It's the inwardness of kindness. Kind actions, doing kind things. Hamshacha melamayla lamata, a flow from above to below. Now, a flow from above to below is the way ahava is defined in the Sfirot. Because the Sfirot are like flowing downwards, and the flow of the Sfirot is the flow of Chesed from above to below, and that is love. Uprinat Shimon Yirah, but Shimon fear hu kav avodah, that is the opposite direction. That is service in the sense of inyan tfila, kav smol, prayer, the left side. Ubitfila gufa inyan parsha shniya dekhir shema, the second paragraph of the Shema. Now this kind of prayer in this sense, is a reaching towards the divine. Ha'ala'a milamata lamayla, reaching up from below. So that is Shimon. Uphinat Levi, al shem yilare yishi elai ukav ha-Torah. Levi represents the line of Torah, ki al yedei araita, because through Torah, Yisrael v'kudshu b'lichu kul echad, through Torah, the Jewish people and God achieve a sense of oneness because Oraita Kudshu B'lichu Yisrael Kul Echad. God, the Torah, and the Jewish people are one. V'zeu inyan yilave yishi elai. That's why it says, my husband will bond with me ki al yedei Torah nase chibur im yishi zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through Torah there is a bond with God ad shi Yisrael v'kudshu B'lichu Kul Echad, till God and the Jewish people are one. That's why Levi is represented in Emet V'Yatziv. Hadavaze, this thing is true and firm. Shakai al haTorah, which is talking about Torah. So we have there love, which is mitzvot, positive good deeds. Fear, which is prayer, reaching up to God, a spiritual thrust towards the divine. And Levi, which is a bonding with God through Torah. And then through that we come to Yehuda. V'zeo in Dalet. V'zeo Yehuda ata yudiucha achercha. That is that sh'avodah debchinat achercha. The avodah of your brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, and Levi, beit parshot dechir shema ve'emet v'yatziv, the two parshot of the Shema, and the after the Shema, true and firm, hi akdama v'achana lebchinat Yehuda. That's the introduction to Yehuda. Havodah d'shmon esre, the service of the Amidah, which is hodayah u'bitul, total acceptance and self-abnegation, ka'avda kamemare, like a servant before his master, completely selfless. Other parts of the prayer have a passion within them that they are reaching towards God, but the Amidah is a kind of moment of selflessness, of just simply being together with God, being together with the divine. Shahabitul de tefillat Amidah, the selflessness in the Amidah, ubitul betachlit. It's a total bitul. The ma'ilegami abitul de tchid shema, even more than the bitul when we say the word Shema Israel. And it talks there about the different the law about not interrupting the Shemona Esrei in any way, and that is because of the total self transcendence which is there in the Amidah. So can we just go on to Ot Hey? V'neze shebchinat Yehuda tzarich laktamat Hodah debchinat Reuven Shimon veLevi. Why does Yehuda need the introduction of the three other brothers, seeing, hearing, and Levi, and bonding? Haynu b'chdei she'odayat b'chinat Yehuda tiyeh b'gilui. It's so that this quality of acceptance, of recognition of the divine, should be revealed. You see, it's there all the time, but in order to make it be revealed, you need the other three qualities. But in fact, in a concealed way, in an inward way, this acceptance of God is there in every single Jew continuously. As it says in Torah, the Yud of Yehuda indicates the imperfect, and the imperfect, like Yelech, and the imperfect means it's a constant action, kamo, like in the verse Kacha Yasei of Kol Hayamim. When you use the imperfect, not for the future, but for an event which takes place in a continual way. This is what Eov would always do. Job would always do. Dahainu shadoya shebechol echad v'rachav Yisrael ubitmidut. This acceptance within each Jew is in a total, is in a continuous way. All right, so that's and then it goes on. Vav, it talks about Yadcha Be'oref Avercha, that when this is in a fulfilled way, then the whole concept of enemy, that the enemies ultimately there is revealed. When there is revealed this quality of spirituality in the Jew, then enemies do not attack, they fall away, or they become friends. That's the ultimate of that. That it's not, as we have the very last few lines on page Chet, Ukumayim Rabbeinu Zal, Keshahakol Kol Yaakov Bebate Knesset Tubate Midrashot, when the call of Yaakov, when the voice of Jacob is heard, you have it in the last few lines, then the hands of Esav do not rule. Then it's transformed. The nations of the world themselves help the Jewish people. In every material thing, sheyuchlu, so that the Jewish people will be able lilmot Torah, lekayim mitzvot, to learn Torah and to keep mitzvot, mitoch ha'chava, in the midst of plenty, or often the mosiv aholech, mosiv aor, in a way of going forward and more radiant, v'or zeh, and this radiance dochet choshech hagalut, pushes away the darkness of exile, u'mevi et ha'geula alidei Mashiach tzidkenu, and brings the redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yavo v'yigaleinu, may he come and redeem us, v'yolecheinu k'mamir et la'atzeinu, and bring us upright to our land, b'mehera, b'yameinu, mamash.
Toda. Higano.